Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today comes from St. Luke, the 3rd chapter. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, and every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. This is the text. Please be seated. Dear brothers in Christ, there was a huge rivalry between my high school, Grenfell, Saskatchewan, in Grenfell, Saskatchewan, and Balcarres High School, which is also in Saskatchewan, when it came to track and field. Normally, Grenfell would get handed a beating pretty badly in track and field, but one year, we seemed to have an exceptionally strong track and field team, which was exciting because it gave us a chance to beat Balcarres. At the end of the field day, we knew the scores were close, and when the last races were lined up to run, which were relay races, the people from the schools, both Grenfell and Balcarres, were hooting and rooting for their team. Our 4x100-meter team was good. We had some fast runners in Lee Lubridge and Troy Dunauer, and then there was our star runner, Craig Rieger, and then there was me. I wasn't particularly good at the 100, and if I recall correctly, the other person that was supposed to be on the team was not able to run, and I was the alternate. There is some strategy that goes into planning a relay race. Who will run first? Who will run last? Who is the best at handing off the baton? And these kind of things. I was elected to run first. I thought to myself, maybe I'm faster than I give myself credit for. Maybe they put me first because I am important. Anyway, I was to run the first leg of the race. We lined up on the track, and I was handing off to our second runner, the star of our team, Craig Rieger. I stepped into the blocks. I could hear the cheers of the people I knew from my school and the jeers from people of other schools. I felt sick. When I ran races, I usually vomited before, but I didn't have time this particular race. The official said, on your marks, get set, bang, off went the gun. I kind of let out a grunt yelp as I started off, which was as much bravado as anything else. I was pushing hard, desiring to run faster. And I was losing, not terribly at first, but enough at a steady enough rate that everyone could see it. All the other teams had put their fastest man on the first leg, which really didn't matter. I looked slow in comparison. Finally got to the handoff point. I put the baton in Craig's hand. I nearly fumbled it, but Craig grabbed it firm and true and was off in a flash. He and Troy and Lee had excellent runs. We ended up winning the race and setting a new track record. And I realized almost instantly that this was not because of me, and that I, being the front runner, really had nothing to do with the overall success of my team. In fact, my seemingly poor performance only made our next man, Craig Rieger, look that much better and brighter as he burned up the track. It's not easy to be the first runner. It's not easy to set the stage for the real show. But we hear of one today who does just that, John the Baptizer, who heralds the coming of the Messiah, the Redeemer of Israel, the Christ. John's birth was a trumpet call, a telling the world to get on their marks, as it were, the first sign that the kingdom of God was at hand. Salvation is on the way. John is the forerunner of Christ, and he wasn't anything special in and of himself. He wasn't an apostle. He didn't have a book in the Bible. He didn't live to be an eyewitness of the resurrection. He worked no miracle that we know of. He had a small group of disciples who eventually left him to follow Jesus. He didn't even consider himself worthy to loosen the straps of Christ's sandals. And yet, Jesus says of John, among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist. John was not great by the world's standards. In fact, he was a little off in the eyes of the world. He wore camel's hair clothing. He ate crickets and honey. But John was focused on his vocation and being the forerunner of Christ. He was uncompromising, unbending, and unyielding in his service. Those who came to him who were crushed by their sins, John told them of the coming Messiah and the salvation he would bring. But for those who thought they had already earned or had their salvation because of their supposed righteousness or relation to Abraham, John says to them, "You are a bunch of snakes." John baptized sinners and outcasts and called people to repentance and faith in the promises of God and in the one who was to come. John was a faithful forerunner and herald to the King of Kings. He did his job unswervingly. Most kings at that time had heralds who dressed in purple robes or played trumpets or called out great things about their kings as they approached. John did not look special, but he did call out the greatest thing that this world has ever heard. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This was John's cry. And for us as Christians, it is still true at this very moment. Our King Jesus came to this earth not to establish an earthly kingdom, but a spiritual one. Christ gave up his heavenly kingdom and was born by the Virgin Mary onto our earth. He laughed and he cried and bled and died, but his life and death were not ordinary. Our Lord was stripped and whipped, splattered with spit, battered with fists, nailed down and lifted up. He lived and died for someone other than himself. He lived and died for you. Christ, the King of Kings, deserved to be heralded by angels on his birthday, but also in every other portion of his life as well. Instead, at the genesis of his ministry, Jesus chooses this forerunner, John, scruffy camel hair wearing, cricket eating John, to tell the world that the King has come and that he was going to set the world free from its sin. And this is what Christ has done. He has set the world free. He has set you free from your sin and your guilt. His death was the only atonement that could be made for the sins of the world. And his death has won for you reconciliation with the Father and salvation at the end of this veil of tears. John the forerunner pointed toward the cross as the focal point of man's existence, the time when God became flesh and died for the ungodly. John foretold the coming of the Christ, and now we, as God's heralds, do the same. Christ is coming again, and just as it was in John's time, now also does the name of Christ not mean much to many. But God has made you his forerunner. He has given you faith, made you an heir, called you to be his herald. Whether it is seasonable or not seasonable, you reflect Christ to the world, not because of your greatness, but because of Christ's greatness. As John says to himself, he must become greater, I must become less. In your churches, in your communities, in your families, in your pulpits, you, God's heralds, speak the promises of God's word. You correct, you rebuke, you teach, and you encourage. And you tell the people that you meet when you're walking down the street that good news that Christ came to die for sinners once for all. You, as God's heralds, look back to the cross and you tell people that this is where Christ won the redemption for you and paid for your admission to life everlasting. And you, as God's heralds, look forward to when Christ will come again to judge the living and the dead. Like John, you run the race of life, not necessarily being rich or famous or wearing purple robes or being the fastest or the smartest, but you tell the world that when Christ comes again, he is coming to take you, his faithful, home. You are God's forerunners. You are running toward the end of all things, and although in and of yourselves you may not look like much, and to everyone else in the world who seems to be running faster, doing better, making more money, you may even look the part of the crazy man like John the Baptist did. You run toward that imperishable prize, eternal life. And the Holy Spirit that God has placed in you bursts forth from you. as you, his heralds, tell the people of this world, Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that Christ came to set the world and has set you free. Your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now let us pray. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in and through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.